Last week, we started a new series on the BPP called Meet the Firsts, men and women making historic breakthroughs in their fields.
And today, we have the story of an 18-year-old high school senior. Her name is Anmar Habib, though she prefers to go by AJ. She's a competitive skier training at an exclusive ski academy called Sugar Bowl in the mountains of Northern California. But it's actually some 8,000 miles away in the mountains of her native country of Pakistan, where AJ is breaking through boundaries. In 2002, she was the first female skier to represent Pakistan in any international ski event. And as we learned when we talked to AJ, she now has her sights set on an even bigger goal, to represent her country at the 2010 Winter Olympic Games. You want to become not just the first woman to participate in the Winter Olympics for Pakistan, but the first person.
Yeah.
Why isn't it just enough to be the best woman in your category?
Well, because I just feel there's a difference between being the best woman and being, like, or being the first woman and being the first person, because I feel that women are people too, and it seems like every time there's a first person to do something, then there's a first woman to follow, and I want to basically break that mold and be the first person as well as the first woman, because I feel that, well, women are equal to men, and as women, we're not second-class citizens. We shouldn't have to follow in the footsteps of men that have preceded us and been the first person to do something.
What kind of pressure is that? And do you think that that's something that you can achieve?
Well, I'm at Sugar Bowl Academy right now, which is the best ski academy on the West Coast, possibly in the country. And they train us all fall for dry land, where we work out. And then we ski all winter and through spring. So I've been working with the Sugar Bowl ski team, because I know the boys that are training with the Pakistan team, which is a really good team, but I feel that Sugar Bowl has a lot to offer me as an individual skier and not as well as a team player.
When did your family, your parents, come to the United States?
My dad immigrated to the United States in 1980, and my mom immigrated in 1999, I think.
Okay. So you were born where?
I was born in Karachi, but I lived in the U.S. for a considerable period of time.
A lot of your family, though, is still in Pakistan, I understand.
Yeah, most of my family's in Pakistan, although I do have relatives in the United States and in other places around the world.
So when you think of home, do you think, oh, it just exists equally in both places for you?
Yeah.
And you never thought of competing for the U.S. team in the Olympics? You thought if you're going to do this, you definitely want to represent Pakistan?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I started off skiing, like competitive skiing with the Pakistan ski team. And I can't imagine competing for any other team. The U.S. ski team is highly competitive, and they've already had countless skiers, you know, go into the Olympics and represent them in some of the best races in the world, whereas Pakistan's never had that opportunity. And skiing in Pakistan is still developing. I think that me representing Pakistan in the Winter Olympics would be a total breakthrough for the country as far as both athletics and as far as the respect of women and how women view themselves there.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, is it common for, Pakistan is obviously an Islamic country, with varying degrees of mores and norms about how women are to behave in public. Is it common for women to ski in Pakistan?
Because the mountains are so inaccessible, there's a very small group of skiers in the country. Although, considering the difficulty it is to access the slopes, there's a considerable amount of women that compete in ski racing.
But it hasn't really caught on as something that people do for fun, in large part because it is so inaccessible. Describe really what it takes to get there. How inaccessible is it?
Well, I was actually skiing in the Karakoram Mountains. They're around the border of Pakistan and China. It's about 500 miles long. I had to fly in from Reno all the way into Islamabad. And from there, from Islamabad, I drove, I think, 18 hours to a village called Gilgit. And from Gilgit, I drove another 3 hours up to the ski resort, which is called Nalthar.
Wow, that's a really long journey to go skiing. Not something for the faint of heart. You have to really want to get on the slopes to do that.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of ski tourism developing in Pakistan?
Well, there was. The Pakistan Tourism Development Corporation was working with the one civilian ski resort in the country, but That is currently inaccessible because it's been taken over by forces loyal to the Taliban.
When did that happen?
I think it happened about a year ago.
So obviously some major obstacles to developing the tourism, the ski tourism industry in Pakistan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just outright dangerous. As a female, though, also there are some rules that govern exactly how you're supposed to present yourself as far as your clothing. How do you deal with that when you ski?
Well, there's not really rules, but it's more about the cultural sensitivity
mm-hmm.
because the people in the region where I was skiing, they're very conservative because they're located in pretty much the most remote areas of the country. Because of that, I think a lot of the women, in order to be sensitive to the local culture, we wear more conservative clothes than we would usually just to respect our hosts. And it's, I suppose it's just more polite to go by their culture.
So how exactly does that mean that you have to dress?
A lot of women cover their head, but I don't. And when we're not skiing, we usually wear like a shawl or something over our clothes for modesty's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And while skiing, we don't wear speed suits because they're pretty much your second skin. And a lot of like the people there don't like that.
So when you compete in Pakistan, you don't, you wear something different. You wear more traditional just ski outfit, not a racing outfit.
Well, I wear my speed suit and I just wore sweats over it. And then I had like my competitive bib on top, so I didn't need to worry about that.
Okay.
But most of the women just wore like ski pants and like a jacket or like a sweatshirt.
So who were your role models when you were thinking about doing this? Did you have people in Pakistan, friends, or other mentors who've been helping you along?
Well, my dad works with the Ski Federation of Pakistan. He was their senior vice president for a long time, and he's the one who got me into competitive skiing. But I had a coach named Iftikhar Bajwa who was in the Pakistan Air Force, and he really encouraged me. There was another Pakistani skier named Sadia Khan, after whom the Women's National Ski Championships was named, and she was the one who was supposed to go to the Olympics, but she passed away in 2002 in a car crash.
Mm.
But she encouraged me initially when I started off competitive ski racing.
And what's been the response to you in Pakistan? Do you have any fans that you know of?
Not that I know of, but my mom's my biggest fan.
As she should be. And finally, I want to ask you, in line with our series, since you are someone who has already achieved a significant first in your field of competitive skiing, mm-hmm. and you have other firsts in your sights for the mm-hmm. future, but what first would you like to see happen? Something that some person out there has yet to achieve, or some barrier that you want to see broken. What would you like to see happen?
Well, a cure for cancer would definitely be nice.
A cure for cancer. The
yeah.
first person to come up with a cure for cancer. Any particular reason that you feel that way?
Because it's killed off so many people, and it's just a disease that pretty much plagued the world.
Well, we wish you all the luck in the world. Anmar Habib, yeah. AJ, she's already on her way to becoming a very important person in the world of competitive skiing, and we wish you all the best, AJ.
Thanks.
Next on the Bryant Park Project, from the people who brought you Wacko Jacko Backo, or remember the rodent-infested Dunkin' Donuts, this headline, Under Mouse Arrest, the great minds behind the headlines of the famous and sometimes infamous New York Post.
Also, a reporter's notebook from one of NPR's foreign correspondents. Ivan Watson usually hangs his hat in the bureau in Istanbul, but he's swung by the BPP studios on his most recent trip back to the U.S. We sat down and talked with him. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.